you, Prince Team, for leading us in those songs. Greetings from the great white north. They say that Bancroft is the four seasons playground. For those of us that live there, we question that. It's the playground part we question. Thanks for making an effort today, and it's good to be with you. And I'm going to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and then we're going to go over to chapter 14. Luke chapter 10, reading at verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Chapter 14. I want to break in the chapter at verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 14. When he noticed, now he's at a Pharisee's house, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. So the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his hosts, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for enabling us to come to this chapel. And Lord, to be reminded of your goodness and faithfulness to us. And thank you, Lord, that we could lift up our hearts in song and worship you this morning. We thank you for the praise team, the effort that they put into it, and Lord, what it means to each one of us. But we thank you this morning for your word, and we just ask, Lord, that the entrance of your word would give light, And Lord, today, that we might say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We want you to minister to us today. But Lord, we would not fail to remember, Lord, we all struggle. We all have deep concerns. And Lord, I just pray today that we will be reminded of the place that you have in our lives. And Lord, just how capable you are to meet every one of our needs. Thank you for each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Graphite has a new full-time worker who came in October and is fitting in very well. And when he starts out to speak, he says, and every Sunday, good morning, family. Good morning, family. And I thought that was most appropriate. The worker prior to that, younger person, he would get up and say, good morning, Graphite. Well, to me, that was kind of cold and not totally inclusive. What about somebody who was not from Graphite? I know there's only one place to live, you know, and we call it the Promised Land, Graphite. But what about those folks that weren't part of Graphite? There's people who come from the other side of Barry's Bay. There's people that travel around the area that's not part of the assembly. Now, good morning, family. Doesn't that really feel more scriptural, more appropriate, and it is all-inclusive if we belong to the family of God? I hesitated speaking on the subject I speak about. Okay, dear. Thanks. Is she ever good at sign language? You know? I know right then, not now. I hesitated because I thought, you know what? And this is what often happens. It's like preaching at Christmas after you do it for 50 years. What's something new that you could share Christmas? But this has been upon my heart, and you're going to see as I speak this morning, and I'm going to make reference to why I feel it's very important to speak on this subject. And the other thing is that I think we all can improve. It doesn't matter what the subject is, as far as our Christian involvement, we all can improve. I'm going to start off with a story. I have a trailer, and my taillights weren't working. And my grandson was at our place for supper, and I had mentioned that I had checked it and out, and I wasn't successful at the time. I didn't spend much time, and oh, he said, Grandpa, why don't you just put new wiring in and solve your problems? Well, that's possible, but I didn't really want to go to that extent. And so the next time I had a chance to look at it, to make a long story short, all the problem was is it had to do with a fuse in my fuse panel in the truck. Something simple. Why I tell you this story is what I have to share with you today is simple. But the problem is, many times we actually don't find ourselves doing those simple things. It's like planting a garden. Now, I know there's experts here today, and I'm not an expert, but I do know from my background that if you're going to plant a garden, there's just some simple things that need to be done. And you say, like what? Well, you got to plant the seed if you're going to have a harvest. People don't have a garden, why? Because they just didn't get around to planting it. But there's just some simple things like, yes, the kind of soil. When you plant, see, in our country, you don't plant in May. Oh, you may plant peas or potatoes or whatever like that, but why? Because of frost. We're better to plant in June rather than May. And we know there's other things like weeds and insects and that are important. Like, I've seen people's gardens, and I just thought it, I'm sorry, I didn't see any of your gardens, okay? I've seen people's gardens that you think they were growing weeds. And here they go down through it. I remember a guy told me one day to come and get something in his garden, and I could hardly find the produce for the weeds. Now, you say, well, what has this got to do with what we're going to look at today? I believe that there's some very simple things we can do that will produce a lot better harvest. A lot better harvest. And in my life, I happen to be a Mr. Fix-It. If it's broken, fix it. And move on from there. And I could give you an illustration, but time doesn't permit today. Well, what are we going to fix? Well, I think that we know as a family that we're to be a loving family. And we know that within this family, there's just some simple little things we can do that might even make the family much healthier. And what's that? Well, the subject I want to speak on today, and it's one that my wife and I are totally convinced that it has an impact on us. I wouldn't give up the experience for anything, and I'm going to tell you why. But it has an impact on others, and that is the whole subject of hospitality. And I'm going to come back to it. 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. On the Saturday night, and incidentally, I'm not ashamed to say that I call my wife the queen of hospitality. I don't know anybody in the local church that provides as many meals for people as my wife. And you know what? On the Saturday night, yes. Sorry, dear. And I'm the most disobedient husband in the world. I'll remember that. She says to me, I think we'll put a roast on, and let's just see who we can invite in for dinner. After the Sunday service. She's going to preach a sermon too, okay? So we went to church, okay? Now let me stop, and there's a principle I believe here that needs to be brought out. I believe it should be intentional. Okay, we have in mind, okay, yes, we would like to have someone in who we didn't know. Now, it so happened that I'd spoke at Graphite a few months before, and there's a new young couple there, and I said to them, I met them, and I remembered his first name, and I said, some Sunday we're around, we'd love to have you in. So, anyway, we looked around and everybody else looked quite stout. We didn't think they needed a meal. And no, there was this young couple. And so we asked them, and of course, I asked the husband, and he wanted to chat with his wife. But anyway, they end up coming. Do you know something? That was the best thing we could have ever done. Why? Well, we got to know them. We got to know them. And here's a beautiful young lady, and she's a teacher. And, I mean, he's a gifted young man. And she blew me away when she told me. Now, she told me that she had a trap line one time. I mean, I would have never guessed in a million years. She knew how to skin out. Dress an animal, skin an animal, and I'm looking at her and I'm going to think, I don't believe her. But anyway, because she was from the Toronto area. But that wasn't what, that amazed me. But what amazed me is they told their story about how they were saved, how they came back into our area. It told me about, or told us about their giftedness, because it was questioning. Oh, let me stop again. See, when we are hospitable or we visit with people, we're not telling them about all the wonderful things we do. I've talked to people, many people, and all you hear is that where they've been, what their family, they never ask you a question. Now, it may be seem to be a process of interrogation that I go through, but I like to ask questions. I like to find out about their spiritual journey and what God is doing in their lives. And but anyway, when they left that day, it was so refreshing. And one of the things she said was that she wasn't good at hospitality. Well, that gave me an opportunity to say to her is simply, in hospitality, we don't have to put on a gourmet dinner. Sometimes if people, Jan advised me, all they might get is Heinz soup, I can put that on, and a grilled cheese sandwich. But you know what? See, it's as we all know, it's not about the food, it's about the person. I want to just, in the time remaining here, I just want to bring some things out. And we read Jesus being at the house of Mary and Martha's. I think, you know what I've experienced with you? I experienced right here at Grace years ago. Women would stay home and prepare a meal for the preacher. See, see, personally, I would rather have Campbell's soup, Heinz soup, pea soup, whatever it is. It's the fellowship that counts. It's the time together. But anyway, I think that we just need to be encouraged. And I'm not here today to put anyone on a guilt trip. We're all at different places in our lives. Some of us don't have the time. We got other commitments, involvement. But I do think that one thing is that we should be intentional. Lord, who would you have us to reach out to? And secondly, Lord, you know, remind me if there's a can of pea soup or whatever in the pantry. Just a number of things I came across that I feel in a family that's important. And I want to preface it with this. The scripture says, is that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, we're to greet one another. No, I'm sorry. This is about entertaining angels unaware. Isn't that interesting? Now, well, the writer to the Hebrews, to the Jews, probably was thinking of Abraham. Remember the three men that approached Abraham. And one of the things I found there that was interesting is Abraham was quick to what? Put on some grub. Yes. And what I don't like about it, Abraham was involved. In our home, it's the other way around. It's my wife that puts the meal on. No, he provided a meal. Now, when it comes to hospitality, if we go back in antiquity, we find that it was common because when people traveled, there weren't the inns, there weren't the place of lodging. What was the most logical thing is to stay with people. And, of course, we come into the New Testament, and I don't know how early in history the inns became prominent, but inns became a place of immorality. It became a place that was filthy and apparently very, very costly. So when you go back into Jesus' time and people came for the religious festivities that was laid out for them, I understand when people would come to Jerusalem, other believers there or people would open their homes And that's where a lot of those people stayed, is with other people. Now, someone has said that hospitality has become a lost art. And it's a lot to do with how our cultures, how times have changed. And I think even back, okay, today, for you to have somebody drop in, most of our stuff is either frozen. But here's something that I found interesting. I come from an era that my parents' door was open, and sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, you could have 30 people, maybe even 40, at our place. Of course, remember, one quarter of those were family members. But no, you could have, mom would invite, maybe not all of them would stay, mom would invite them for maybe, say, lunch or supper, mostly supper. And you say, well, how in the world would any person be able to feed? You remember in the past, some of you older folks, what did you have? There was always lots of bread, wasn't there? And then, is Keith here today? No, he's not here today. Because remember when he counseled the camp, he used to talk about his mother's preserves. You know, the old cellar? Mom could put on a decent meal in 30 minutes, time enough to boil potatoes. Why? She had canned vegetables, and she might even have fresh vegetables, but she would have canned pork or canned beef, whatever, and whatever time it took for her to warm this stuff up, she could have a decent meal. Well, I'm not saying here grace, but in some cases, people live, they go to the corner store or grocery store every day to get enough for their meal. Now, yes, times have changed. And also, I see today the value of people, the importance of people, is not the same. I was just sharing with Jan coming down. It's just some concerns I have of some young people back home, and we just need to continue to pray. Great Christian young people. But you know what? They're so consumed with their selves and obtaining material things. And I'm an old boy sitting back where I want to get rid of material things. And I see, you know what I look for? I look for, in people's lives, how much do other people mean to them? See, we all know within the family, the only thing we're going to take with us is our children, isn't it? And God bless, there's been many people here that have devoted their lives to their children, and praise God for that, because they have reaped a benefit from it and seeing them go on for the Lord. Okay, some of the things, just in closing here, that I want to bring out and emphasize. I believe that by doing and having people come into our lives, let me say this. We don't have to have people in our homes just to do this. It's to encourage one another. When do we need encouraging more than in this world today? But you know, folks, we've got to practice it not only in our homes. I love working with my grandchildren. And, you know, say, hey, man, that was a great job. I love them working alongside, and you know, Grandpa doesn't have to drive the truck anymore. Grandpa doesn't have to drive the tractor anymore. I've got grandsons, you know, that love to do that. But encouraging one another. Now, okay, here at Grace, when's the last time that we actually went out of our way to encourage somebody? Even to say that it's really good to see you. I've been thinking about you. Now, don't lie. Don't lie. If you haven't been thinking about them, say, I haven't been thinking about you, but it's sure good to have you here. No, I'm not sure you should go that route. But anyway, okay, what about what I find as a preacher. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't put myself very high. You know, I'm on my way out. But, you know, I've gone to places and people go by, shake your hand, and I would swear that they give me a goose egg for that message. No, I thought it was worth more than that. I thought it was worth one. But there was no response. And you know, I stop and think about that, or I've thought about that. When I'm around someone, suppose it wasn't a great message. We could at least thank them for turning up because you didn't have to do it. The other thing is we don't have to lie about things. Oh, that was such a wonderful, wonderful message. No. And people are not looking for a pat on the back. You know what we all want? Just to be affirmed that it was good to have you around. Don't look at me like that, dear. Okay. It's an act of love. Wow, what does the scripture say? Yeah, we're to show brotherly love, Philadelphia love. The city of brotherly love. We're to show love one for another. Wow. How do we know that we're his disciples? How do we know? It's how people love one another. Now, we know that within the subject of hospitality, that the scripture says that the elders should, they are the ones that should exemplify it. And again, I'm not laying a heavy on anybody. It doesn't mean we have to have somebody in every Sunday. And I know some of you are already practicing it. And all I want to say is I want to encourage you. And I'm sure that you could stand up this morning if, you know, we gave time afterwards and just to say, you know what? The preacher is right. For the first time. No, from what we've experienced in our own lives. Okay. And I've already alluded to this in the fact that it's a means of ministry and counsel. This young lady that said she wasn't, she's shy, she wasn't good at hospitality. So I just shared things like that we talked about this morning. Look, you don't have to put on a 7-course meal. You just, you know, chill out and just be yourself. And if it's, you know, peanut butter and jam, that's good enough for me. You can see I'm living on it. Okay. And as I've already alluded to, the fact that it's an opportunity to get to know people better. See, I've been here for 2.5 years, and some of you knew me, but you still don't know me. You still don't know me. You say, well, I think you do. I can tell you things about Gary that you don't know. And you and I find... We invited a couple in one day, and it was so encouraging afterwards. They just opened up. I learned more about those people's lives in, let's say an hour and a half, than I'd ever have learned meeting the church and just shaking hands at church. Why? Because they opened up and they told their story. And why I was glad for them to share it. Oh, you talk about hurt in their lives. Big time hurt. And so you know what we can say? We're so sorry that you had to go through this. You know, and before they leave, all we have to do is pray for them. And just thank God that he gave them the strength to go through it. So it's an opportunity to get to them the better, get better acquainted with them. Guests, now when I said you don't know me, that's not a hint that you're to invite me to your house, okay? And maybe you don't want to know those things. But anyway, I do have a story. Okay, it's a way to honor people. We go to Romans chapter 12, 9 to 11. We're to honor one another, show respect for. And then in conclusion, I'd like to just leave you with this, is that we know Barnabas, don't we? And what was Barnabas's name? Son of encouragement. You know what? There's people who feel like giving up. There's people who hurt. Paul and Barnabas were on the first missionary journey and they took John Mark. Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark eventually. And when John Mark went home, we don't know why, he left Paul and Barnabas. And when they went to go back on their next journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. And guess what Paul did? Paul said, no way. In essence, he said, we take from this. We don't know. I don't like quitters. Now, whether he was a nephew or cousin, that is, John Mark, to Barnabas, Barnabas wanted to take him. And you know what later on Paul said? He sent word, send John Mark to me because he is profitable to me. Now my question is would he have been profitable if he had no one to come alongside him? And to think the result of all that was what? That he wrote the Gospel of Mark. Folks, we can point our fingers, we can criticize, but you know what? Oh, that we'd realize, the older I get in my life, I don't have to correct people. I just want to encourage them. I want to show respect for them so that they will continue on. See, this old boy, someday you're going to hear, he's gone. He's gone. But what I'm looking at is I want others to take my place. I want to encourage others to, you know, follow along. You know, you're part of a family, but, you know, we're more than part of a family. We are reaching out we belong to the family of God. And what's important in life? What's important in life? People are important. Shall we pray? Lord, help us, I pray this morning, to keep our focus on that which is important. Lord, these are just simple little things we can do. But Father, sometimes we focus, our focus is in other areas. And Lord, we fail to realize that people need the Lord. People are broken. People need to be encouraged. People who are part of the church, Lord, we must encourage them to be, Lord, to become part of and to function and exercise their gifts that you've given to them. Father, I thank you for this family here at Grace. I thank you for those that are reaching out and, Lord, seeking to practice what the scriptures teach. And, Lord, maybe there's someone here today that thinks that it's just not them. Lord, help us to realize that sometimes in our abilities, we just need to practice. Lord, we need to step out in faith. We need to step out, Lord, and just trust you. And Father, we know that the blessing that comes as a result of honoring you. So Lord, I think of our, this as being Soup Sunday, and the food that we're about to partake of downstairs, and the fellowship that we're going to have together. Lord, how important it is. And we just pray that you will indeed bless the hands that provided this food. In Jesus' name, amen.